Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday, October 30th, 2013, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Welcome to the show. I hope your day is already going grandly. I hope you started off with a good outlook, expecting this to be a good day. Well, if you're thinking, well, not so much, well, I want to encourage you to use mind over matter. You know, that's an age-old adage that reminds us that we can keep a good perspective in the course of what happens or what goes on. It reminds us to think about the good things, to take a more positive type of perspective. It also reminds us to take charge of our thoughts and do our best to not allow the matters of life to weigh too heavily on our minds. Mind over matter. It's a wonderful concept. And I can tell you, it takes a little practice, but I also can tell you that practicing it really does work. It surely does. I talked to a young lady the other day who has decided to use this strategy. She was recently diagnosed with breast cancer and is entering her journey thinking courageously and positive. And so far, so good. Practicing mind over matter, staying on it and above it with a victorious attitude. Well, my guest today will be talking with us about all of that. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and just this week they had one of their major events here in Houston in recognition of that, and she's going to tell us all about it and about the organization that sponsored it, The Rose. It's a wonderful organization that is doing phenomenal things for women in this specialized area of healthcare. She is the communication specialist for the Rose organization, and she's my very special guest today, Karen Campbell. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, too. I know you are probably trying your best to do a little winding down since Monday, so I managed to get hold of some of the busiest people, but that means that you're movers and shakers, and so that's a good thing. I know you get requests like this all the time, and I thank you so much for being so willing to accommodate me.
Well,
so
as you said, it's a breast cancer awareness, and so we want to take every opportunity that we can to get the word out that folks need to get that mammogram, and we so appreciate you. I loved your theme song, New Attitude. We want women to get an attitude that it's okay to take care of themselves and get out there and get that mammogram.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we certainly are going to encourage that throughout our conversation. But let's start talking about your event this week. Tell us all about it. Tell us its origins and tell us, you know, all that went on and, you know, the people that came out and your sponsors and all of that.
We were so excited. It was such a grand event. We were at Shadowhawk Golf Club, which is not easy to always get in there. So we had a lot of folks who were thrilled to be able to have the opportunity to play on such a beautiful course. And having had the weekend, we were all manifesting a beautiful day, and it was a gorgeous day. And a little bit of a breeze, which, you know, is such a rarity in Houston. We felt particularly blessed about that. And we had some fantastic sponsors who were taking care of us. We had Pinnacle Financial Group, and we had Marathon Oil, and then we also had Litchfield Cavo and Wood Forest Bank.
Wow.
Those were the folks who just made it such a particularly beautiful experience for all of our guests. And we had 18 teams out there taking on a very classic course. I do not play golf. I do know the difference between a hole in one and a mulligan, and that's about it. But I had a good time along with everybody else, and it was fun to see Roger Clemens out there. He was one of our celebrities playing, but it was even more fun to hear that his wife, Debbie, is the one whose name is on the wall out there, and she played too. She's, I think, won the championship there three times. And so I kind of had fun nudging him just a little bit. He may be a champion on the diamond, but she's a champion on the course. And we had Dan Pastorini, who, of course, our former Oilers, and lots of great celebrities. Cheetah Johnson came over from KHOU, which was great. And each team had someone special on it, along with every one of the special players who gave their time and energies to help us raise some money for mobile mammograms.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly was a great lineup of sponsors. And I know, gosh, you couldn't do something that of that magnitude without them. So kudos to all of them. But I love what you told me about Debbie, too. I think Debbie would do well to launch a shirt right now that says "Girls Play Golf Too."
Exactly. Yeah, I think she needs to get in touch with Condoleezza Rice, because I know she's encouraging women to step up and play the game more. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more than the difference between a mulligan and a hole in one.
Oh, I think you're award winning in your category, so don't even worry about that. But you said she's the reigning champion 3 years in a row now?
Yeah, I don't know in a row, but I know that her name's up there three times because I saw the board. And the sweet thing was that he pointed it out. It wasn't her. He
really
said,
neat.
"Come here, I want you to see something." And he did it right after. We're trying to raise money for a new mobile mammography unit. That's the van and the equipment that we need and the staffing that we need. And it's quite a little hefty sum that we need in order to put another mobile unit out on the roads. And so we were using this golf tournament, the Rose Golf Classic at Shadowhawk, as an opportunity to do so. And we invited, as we said, you know, lots of different teams and raised, we're very, very excited. We raised more than $170,000. One of the things that we did was we took the actual unit that a woman would get a mammogram on, because it can be rolled up into the back of our van and then rolled off and then put in any office anywhere, and then our technicians are there and they provide the mammogram. And so a woman can, you know, cut time from 2 hours to get to an appointment to 15 minutes to walk down the hall and get their mammogram right there on the spot. And so we took the machine and put it in the hallway at Shadowhawk just so that the golfers could have an experience of finding out what that pressure feels like, because there were a lot of men. There were some women's teams, but a lot of men. And so we've got a great shot of Doug Dawson, who was with the Oilers, and then Roger Clemens, both having their fists squeezed in that machine to feel the experience of what it feels like. And, of course, for those of us who've been having mammograms for quite some time, we all know that a lot of the scary stories were from years gone by, and that now it's really not that much of an effect at all. But I think they were impressed, let's just say, with that the machine made an impression on them about what a woman goes through in order to make sure she's healthy.
Yes, yes. Well, I am so glad to hear that the event was extremely successful.
Yes, yes. And we wanted to give thanks to Shadow Hawk and to Paul Michon, who did a little clinic for us. And again, as we've already said, to Marathon Oil and Pinnacle and Woodforce Bank and to Litchfield Cava, because we couldn't have done it without them and all those great volunteers who made the day go so very smoothly.
Well, it certainly is an amazing thing that you're doing. I want to talk about your mobile van. I saw it, and I tell you, it is just the most beautiful sight to see.
Isn't it?
It is. And I thought, you know, it's wonderful to see something that pretty. It's big and white with all the pink all over it. And to eliminate any hesitation, to eliminate any fears, it's just so attractive. And I thought,
exactly,
how awesome is that for a woman who may have hesitated for a long time to get her mammograms or just felt, you know, fear about it. They approach you look at it and you think there's got to be a bed in there and some wonderful pillows and I can just go in there and lie down.
That is funny, because we do have some people who, when we first talk about mobile, they do think it's a, you know, something where you can just walk in and get it right there. And actually, it's just transporting. So we want everyone to know that it doesn't. It's not a scary, oh, I've got to walk up into a big facility or walk up into a big van or anything like that. We take it and we'll put it in. All we need is about a 10x10 room, and we can put it anywhere and get that mammogram done and out of the way, as I said. And we're in 25 counties now, trying to get the message out that women need to think Me Too and eliminate any barrier that's going to keep them from getting that access to care that they so desperately need. And so we want them to think Me Too and make it a priority, and then we want to take down the barrier of geography or distance or anything like that as far as getting our mobile units out there and utilized.
So how do individuals or companies arrange to have the mobile service?
Well, the ROSE website, which is theROSE.org, www.theROSE.org, has a panels for all of the questions about making an appointment or setting up the mobile. We have the mobile unit actually has its own address and its own phone number, so you can go directly to them and to ask any questions that you have. There's instructions about what's needed. It's a little bit more than just calling us up and saying, here's a date, because what we want to do is we want to make sure that we have at least 20 people who would be ready to go on the day that we come. So we need to ensure that we get 20 reservations at any one location that we're at. And then we just simply go from there. All we need is a contact person, and we'll take it from there. We'll lead the way through so that you can get exactly what you need when you need it. And that telephone number for mobile mammography is 281-464-5136, and that goes directly to our mobile team. And that's 281-464-5136, sorry.
Mm-hmm. So the encouragement here then is that, let's say there is an office full of women, or a business, or a school or something where it might be a challenge to, in your normal schedule, to come and have this service, then they can collaboratively request that the mobile unit come, and as long as there is a space accommodation, they can provide up to 20 or more than 20.
Oh, we can do
mammograms.
More, but we need that 20. And yeah, absolutely right. That 10x10 room, and we come just a little. It doesn't really take very long to get it off the van, so we come just a little early, get it set up, and we start taking appointments and can take them throughout the day. And literally, a woman would be gone no more than 20 minutes from her desk. and she's back at work. So it's good for business, and it's good for the woman. It just makes so much sense all the way around. We actually had a wonderful story the other day of a pastor out in Brookshire who understood what the Rose does and wanted to be able to give access to care to the people in her area. And I did a quick search just to find out how long it would take maybe somebody in that area to get to a place that might take someone who was uninsured. And it was at least 25 miles, and it was going to be, that would have been a lengthy drive and a lengthy time away. And so what this pastor did was use her church as a mobile mammography site. And she knew that, because she'd studied up on the Rose, she knew that when three insured women come to the Rose, they help cover the cost of an uninsured woman who's coming to the Rose. And so because she knew that, she thought, well, you know what? I think I'll go ahead and I'll be one of the appointments on this particular day that they'd set up the mobile unit. And she did, and we found her cancer in the earliest stages. And so it was a matter of her then just getting the treatment that she needed and navigated to where she needed to be. And so there was a beautiful story of when, you know, you're about the business of trying to bless someone else and how, you know, it's definitely comes back to you in some way because we were able to find it and she didn't even have to go through chemo.
And it all came as a real surprise to her at that moment.
Oh, yeah. She was just getting a regular mammogram, but thought, well, I'll go ahead and get it today and, you know, be a part of the insured folks who are helping out the uninsured folks. And lo and behold, there it was.
Wow. That is an amazing and wonderful story. And I trust she's doing well?
Yes, she is. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, I'd like for you to tell everyone about the organization itself, Karen. It has such a wonderful history and
it does.
Incredible
yeah.
people who are servicing the communities every day. So let's go ahead and tell them the big picture of the organization.
Okay, all right. Well, it was back in 1986 that we first began as a nonprofit, a 501c3. But even before that, Dr. Dixie Melillo, who was one of the first female general surgeons to come out of UTMB, was working in a local hospital. And now you got to remember, this is back in the 1980s. So it was before we had pink ribbons everywhere, before people, you know, really even said the word breast cancer out loud. Most of the time, I remember growing up, you know, it was whispered at the table. And so she was at the hospital, and Dorothy Gibbons was the marketing director at the hospital, and she and Dixie often were together when Dixie would find women coming to the hospital with late-stage breast cancer. And Dorothy was the one who would chronicle it and take the pictures for study, for later follow-up. And Dorothy said, has told me on more than one occasion that she said, I could be in the theater, the surgical theater, and take pictures when there was a surgery underway. And I didn't, you know, I was so focused on the camera and getting the picture right that I separated myself somehow from the sense that, yes, that's someone there and they're, you know, they're cutting them and so forth. She said, I never really even thought about those aspects of it. She said, but whenever Dixie would call me and tell me to come to the door, come to her office, she said, I would have to stand at the door and steel myself because I could tell by the smell what was going to happen when I opened that door. And so many times in those early days, the cancer had been to the point of coming out of the skin. And yeah. And so Dorothy would have to go in, and she would take the photographs, and they would comfort the woman, and then the woman would go and get dressed, and Dorothy would look at Dixie and say, you know, what are we going to do? And Dr. Dixie would have to say, well, we're going to hold her hand until she dies because there's nothing we can do now. And they were so frustrated and so angry that women were not able to get the access to care that they needed, either because of distance or cost or availability of equipment. And they studied on it. They figured out what they could do. They were encouraged by national folks in breast cancer world at the time, Rose Kushner, and were encouraged and told to make it happen, to make some sort of access to care happen here in the Houston area. And so they did, and they have been this community-supported, absolute part of the community since they were birthed, because it's been the community who's kept them in operation. These are folks that understand that not everybody has, you know, the cash on hand to sometimes get them the mammogram. And as Dorothy often says, and if they don't have the cash for a mammogram, they certainly don't have the cost of the treatment and the continuing care. And so they just established this wonderful facility that we call the Rose. We now have two centers, one in on a few Featherwood in the southeast part of town, and one in the Galleria area, and then we have three mobile units, and we go into 25 counties. And since those beginning days that started small in borrowed space that have brought us to this point, we have cared for nearly 400,000 women. And we were doing some figuring one day, and we said that would fill Reliance Stadium five times, and one of those times it would be filled with nothing but our sponsored women. And those are the women who they're working women. I know an incredible story of a woman who just got a divorce, and so that's when she found the lump, and she was no longer on her husband's insurance. So she was there without insurance, and they come to the Rose, and we find out what program they might qualify for that they don't know about. We get them the help that they need. Again, the three insured women help to take care of, help to give us the volume so that we can care for that uninsured woman. And then another beautiful aspect of what the Rose does is the patient navigator. And that patient navigator will sit with a woman who is about to be told she has cancer. And she will be with that woman for 5 years. She will help her find the treatment she needs based on location and any kind of concerns about language or distance or transportation. She will make sure she has wigs if needed, or a prosthesis, or whatever she needs. The patient navigator is there to make that happen, and she will keep contact with the woman even after she's rings the bell, she's no longer having to do the treatment. She'll stay in contact with her for 5 years. So that's the community spirit of the Rose that I just think is fantastic, and it's such a testimony to the people of Houston, because we're caring for counties all around us because there are people who care right here in Houston and who make it happen by coming to us or by donating or sponsoring or, you know, playing in a golf tournament.
Well, let me ask this, because it's phenomenal what you just said about the number of women that you have offered care to over the years. I'm trying to get a picture, and I want you to also share, of course, with the audience. When there are those situations where extended care is needed, how is that handled? They begin with you. And I hear you say you're going to provide this service. Somehow you're going to find the financial accommodations that a woman will need. But let's say she does have to have quite an extended period of care. Does the surgery actually happen at the Rose? Are you
affiliated
with hospitals?
Thank you for asking that. We do the screening, the diagnostic mammogram. So what every woman needs to do is make an appointment for an annual screening and be consistent, and everything should be very good at that point. And even if we do find something, which would take a diagnostic mammogram, if we do find something, if you're being consistent, then you're being consistent in a time period where we're probably going to get it and get it really, really early. And so that's the main message that everybody needs to hear is get your screening. Now, once you're screened and something is found that might be suspicious, you have to have a diagnostic mammogram. And so you come back, and that may also entail other diagnostic procedures. It might be an ultrasound. It'd be depending on you, your body, and a lot of different factors. But you're going to have some diagnostics done, and that is something else that the ROSE does. Once the cancer is diagnosed, that's when we and the patient navigator help to get the woman to the next phase of the journey, and that's not handled. We do not handle the actual treatment or chemo or any of those things, but we do link you to the best possible source that's going to, again, customize to meet your needs. It, you know, it could be a language issue. It could be a transportation issue. It could be a cost issue. It's the barriers to care are not always cost, and that's one of the things that we need people to understand is that when we talk about access to care, it's not always a cost factor. And so having people who are knowledgeable of the facilities in the city that will take someone who has different kinds of needs and different kinds of circumstances, that's what's so critically important. And our patient navigators are top-notch in their understanding of the medical community that's here in the Houston area.
When you explain that entire process to us, Karen, is there continued help then when the care is an extended process? Can the women be pretty much assured that they're going to have the assistance that they need? Is it an ongoing process of application? The reason I'm asking all of these questions is, of course, to provide clarity. Again, there's probably, hopefully, a smaller population of women who do feel the same hesitancies and fears, but of course, once they do, if they do find that there is some concern, oftentimes it's quite a journey. And so, do they begin with you, and you continue to help them with the securing the financial assistance that they need?
Well, a lot of the financial assistance questions can be resolved because they may not know that they actually qualify for a particular program. For instance, in Texas, we have the Cancer Prevention Research Institute of Texas, and that is a source for covering some of the needs. And then we have BCCS, which is another source for covering some of the needs. And many, many times, the woman who's just heard these words for the first time, you have breast cancer, they have no knowledge of the, you know, the ABCs that are out there of all the different possibilities. That's what our navigators do. They know what programs accept what and how that is to be handled. And then, yes, they do stay with them. So if something should happen in the process and say they needed some more information about reconstruction surgery or something like that, our navigators are there. They're checking on them. They're helping them out. And so that is a part of what the ROSE provides. We provide guides. That's what I think you could see that our navigators are, guides to the resources. Sometimes it is the ROSE who is providing the resource, the financial resource. But oftentimes it's the ROSE that's connecting them to existing resources that are out there that they didn't even know they qualified for. And that's, that knowledge base is what is so critical and so very, very important.
Well, let's talk about the patients, the women themselves. I imagine that when you have a diagnosis, there's got to be a variety of responses, and I'm sure most are pretty shocked and maybe scared too. When you begin that process, is there you speak of the navigator. Is the navigator trained in dealing with the psychological, emotional aspects of their care? Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, you know, one of the first stories I did when I first started working for the ROSE was of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 21 years old when she found out that she had breast cancer. And Elizabeth, like many women, felt the lump and then talk herself out of doing anything about it because she had a young baby and much to do, much on her plate. And she just was, she just convinced herself that while she might, it just wasn't something that she needed to necessarily check out. Fortunately, her father, who had experienced breast cancer in his family before, said, no, that's not acceptable, and you will go, and we'll find you a place that, even though you're uninsured, we'll find you a place that can take you. And so Elizabeth was able to come to the Rose, and then we did work with her as she went through the journey of getting the treatments. And so now I love it when I get to see her because I see her on a pretty regular occasion, and her little baby is this three-year-old running around, and she's beautiful and healthy and going back to school and working and thriving. And those are the stories that are just so exciting for us. I mean, we're thrilled to be able to tell that. But yes, women will come to us because they may have delayed getting the mammogram. They may be scared. They may have fear about the procedure, which we really do want to circumvent that and say it's not what it used to be at all. But when that first sign of something might be there, our staff is incredible at being that voice of comfort and calm and assurance that, you know, we've just got to wait and see. And you'll get, if you're coming for a diagnosis, you're going to get, you're going to know what's going on that day. You're going to be able to know that day what's happening with your body and with you. And that navigator is going to be there. And yes, they are trained. They're certified and they know, and they've been there with so many women, and they know what the reactions are going to be, from shock to denial to stalwart determinism. I mean, they've seen it all, and they know how to respond to each one of those. And one of the other things that the Rose does, which is so very valuable, is that we have connections to survivor groups that are throughout the city, but we have them at our locations. And so those support groups are so very valuable, especially to that woman who's newly diagnosed and has got so many questions. And so we provide for the support groups both at both of our locations, the Rose Southeast and the Rose Galleria.
Can you get us in the loop about current statistics about breast cancer in relative to perhaps age, maybe some type of predetermination that may, I mean, you turn the news on any day and anything, you know, your vacuum cleaner could cause cancer. They just have so many ridiculous things that they say. But I would like for you, if you could, to give the audience some ideas about the age
sure.
factors,
sure.
Things that maybe could help them as far as I know they, of course, genetics and things, but just get us in the loop about some cautionary things as well.
Well, one of the things that's often said is that one out of seven women will get breast cancer. We're trying to assure people that seven out of eight will never develop breast cancer. And we think that's a really positive way of looking at it. Throughout the month of October, more than talking about breast cancer awareness, I've talked about breast health awareness. Because we want people to know that even though in 1 year we might see close to 35,000 patients, 99% of them are going to be told they're cancer-free. And so what we're doing by getting this screening mammogram, and we do suggest that at 20, every 3 years you start getting a clinical breast exam that your doctor will do for you. You ask for that. And then at 40, every year after that, you get the screening mammogram. And the reason why we say that is because what we want to do is cancer is there, we want to find it at its earliest possible stage so that we can assure that you're one of the survivors. Obviously, catching it later means lots of different kinds of treatments and so forth. And we want to get it early, and we want to be able to assure you that, you know, you're good to go. We have, unfortunately, there is no one group that's safe and clear as far as breast cancer is concerned. For instance, Hispanic women get a much more aggressive form of breast cancer than non-Hispanic white women do. This Sunday, we're going to have a run. Anna's Angels are going to be doing a run for Anna Baron Garcia in honor or in memory of Anna Baron Garcia, who is this wonderful woman who found her cancer at 30, and it was inflammatory breast cancer. And it's not the kind of cancer that people find as a lump. It appears more as a rash and has other identifying factors. And as a result of it seeing it but not knowing and just having had a baby, she didn't get diagnosed with the actual inflammatory breast cancer until several months into it. And although she was diagnosed, she came, finally was found the rose. We found the breast cancer, identified it, got her into treatment, and her family was blessed to have her with them for 5 years, but she did pass away. And so as a result of that, the family really wants to get the word out about inflammatory breast cancer. And so there are several people who are going to be running 30 miles on Sunday morning starting at 4 o'clock, and they will conclude at the cemetery where Anna is buried, and they have done it to raise money for women like Anna who need care at the Rose. And they've already raised over $20,000. Their goal is $25,000. And that's, again, that community spirit that I was telling you about. African-American women have a lower incidence of breast cancer, but they're more likely to die of the disease. And what we find when we've done studies, even with our local area, and talked to some of the African-American women who postponed their appointment, they said yes, they made an appointment, but then they postponed it. We discovered that it was definitely a sense of fear, and hearing the words, they feared the words breast cancer and what that would mean to them and to their bodies. And so we actually were a part of a group with the Breast Health Collaborative of Texas. We were a part of an endeavor to do an intervention and to assure the woman, the African-American woman who was postponing, encourage her and to assure her that there was going to be somebody there walking with her throughout the whole experience. And we saw an increase in or a decrease in the no-show rate as a result of that intervention. And then compared to other women in the United States, Asian American women are the least likely to have ever had a mammogram. And so that's while we don't see cancer as much, we also don't see them as much coming through our doors. And then Caucasian women have the highest incidence for breast cancer, period. They have the highest incidence. And so it's no respecter of persons. Somebody can feel special in not necessarily a positive way. When it comes to breast cancer, every group can feel, quote-unquote, special. The
can
youngest
you
person...
Tell us?
I'm sorry, I was going to say, you asked about ages. The youngest person who was ever served here or in the last 5 years was 8 years old. And the oldest was 101. So, yeah.
I had no idea that you could have breast cancer at eight. I've never
heard
that.
If you know, you have tissue, yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously it's not something prevalent, but we do hear a lot that women sometimes are told if they are younger and they felt something and they express it out loud, some people will say to them, "Well, you're too young for a mammogram." And what we've said over and over again is, well, you're not too young for breast cancer. And so one of the things that Dorothy Gibbons and Dr. Dixie Melillo ensured when they started the Rose was that we believe that a woman knows her body, and she knows what her body is telling her. And so if a woman expresses concern that, and she's young, we don't believe there's an age limit to breast cancer, and so they will care. They will get her the care she needs.
Is that telling us then, Karen, that we need to be very conscious then of our young daughters in this regard, as far as you know, perhaps their checkups and things? It doesn't sound like it's something that the typical pediatrician is going to be thinking about.
Yeah, that's not a concern. I don't think. I mean, we have had one that young, but what we do say, what we absolutely tell people, is to pay attention to your body, and at age 20, ask your doctor to every 3 years give you a clinical breast exam, because you want to get a baseline. You want to see what's there. Of course, if there's breast cancer in the family, that changes the situation somewhat. If there's breast cancer in the family, you want to get a baseline mammogram earlier than you would if you didn't have breast cancer in the family. Many times they will say that if it was a mother or an aunt and they had breast cancer in their 40s, then you want to go and make sure you get that baseline at 30, 10 years earlier than they found their breast cancer. But you do want to, you know, be in tune not only to your body but to your family history. Those two things, yes. Knowing your body and knowing your family history, make a difference. And they are so often said, and sometimes I think people don't hear it as much as they need to hear it, that it's absolutely critical to know your own body and to know your family history.
Yes. Let's talk about, in that same vein, being proactive and taking a preventative approach to it. Talk to us about how we look for it, and possible signs that we can pay attention to, as far as that. Of course, lumps are obvious, but you mentioned the young woman who had the inflammatory breast cancer, and I imagine for the average consumer, a female population out there, we would not know the various types or situations. So can you take us through some of that as well?
Well, I'm not a physician, so I would refer you to a couple of things. That's the way I would say it, is that you did us a great service and showed the ABCs of breast cancer card on the website, your website. You have it featured there. That's a great tool. It tells you a little bit about the basics related to breast cancer. Obviously, that self-exam that you do each month is going to tell you if there's a change. So being aware, it can be a lump, but it can also be a change in the nipple. It can be a change in color. It can be a different kind of texture on the breast. So there's lots of different signs, but basically what you're looking for is it's different, and you don't know if it's different unless you know what normal is. So, you know, doing an exam each month will tell you what normal is, and then when you see something that's slightly abnormal, then you want to give us a call and ask about it and let us see what we can find. And if you're getting your annual mammogram, we're able to keep up with, you know, what the changes as well. So if you're doing the monthly, you make sure at 20, every 3 years, you're doing the clinical breast exam, and then you're doing the annual screening, you're good to go. You're good to go. But, yeah, there are different types of cancer, and they all have different kinds of signs. So that's why I would say I'm not a physician myself, so I didn't want to go into too much clinical, but any kind of change, if you see a change, that's pay attention to it. And we also have, I would also say that we have a very active Facebook page. If you go to therose.org and you click on the top icon, which is Facebook, we have so many resources that we share. When people share them with us, we share them with others. And so if you just scroll through our Facebook page, you'll see so many references to ways that you can find information and assistance and so forth. So both our website has resources for you, and then as new pieces come out, we add them also through alert people through Facebook. So either one of those would give you a lot of information.
Can you also share with us, and that's wonderful, and I do have the link on the website.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about the statistics is related to, I know you said one out of seven. What does that look like annually?
That is, oh, you mean in the number of people?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell
the number
you that,
of people.
Yeah, I can tell you that I'm trying to see if I've got those stats readily available.
I heard something the other day, the reason that I asked that, and I thought, you know, could that be correct? I thought it was something around 250,000 cases.
Nationwide?
And that, yes.
That
yes.
That could be it. I'm not as familiar with the nationwide statistics. You know, I do know that, again, we serve about 35,000 a year, and we did about 61,000 screening and diagnostic procedures. And so, you know, we're out there and we've got the numbers. We're seeing maybe, you know, 300 or so that might be diagnosed. But I don't know the nationwide statistics. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But when I heard it, I thought it was awfully low, and I thought two things. Well, that sounds low, and then the other thing I thought, well, if that is that low, that's great. That's really
well,
good.
The key is, and I think this is, you know, when we say, okay, for instance, we navigated 231 uninsured patients into treatment last year. So they were diagnosed and they were navigated into treatment. There were several others that were not necessary. They were told they had cancer, but they were not uninsured. And so that, okay, 231 may sound like a low number unless you're one of the 231.
Well, yeah,
and
course.
And that's the thing that I think so many folks, when they want to make, because some there are those who say, well, you know, why do we need to put so much emphasis on self-exams and annual mammograms? Because, you know, that some women may look at it as, I've got to worry that I might have breast cancer, and that worry is not warranted when they probably won't have breast cancer. And I think that's an interesting argument to say, well, let's not do it because we don't want people to worry. I think it's better to say, let's just make it an annual thing that we know it's a checkup that we are healthy, not a checkup to see that we're sick, but it's a checkup to find that we are healthy and that we can celebrate being healthy. And that's why we say that we are a breast health organization. That we want to promote healthy. Look, we've got a whole new campaign called Me Too, because we know that women often put off their own health for the sake of others that they're caring for. And so we are trying to encourage women to think Me Too and to make their health a priority and to make that annual screening an absolute must. And then we're encouraging them, because it's Me Too, it's also Me Plus Two. We say bring two friends along. And if you're insured, the three of you are going to help cover the cost of some uninsured woman that we may be taking care of. But also, Me Plus Two is a great party. So come and have your mammogram with us. We'll make it easy. We'll make it convenient and as comfortable as possible. And then go out and have a good time. We've had women who have come to the Rose, and they all got their appointments at the same day, and they went out afterwards and had margaritas. So it was mammograms and margaritas day. And they, you know, they had a really great time.
I think some
and they
people
were
will love that plan.
I know. I love it. You know, there's mammograms and massage and mammograms and margaritas and manicures. I mean, you can do just about anything and have a really great time. And so that Me Too concept that, yeah, it's okay to think Me Too, I'm important,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay mm-hmm. to put my needs as a priority, and then also Me Plus Two, and then finally, people like you, bless you, who help us get the word out and who help us tell our story are taking me to the second power, because you're helping us expand what we're doing so that we can reach more women with the message of breast health, and we can ensure that more people get those critically needed mammograms.
Yes, of course, and that really is my motivation. I'm hoping that by what you have told all of us, that this really, your efforts and your efforts over the years has minimized the number of women who come in with late stage cancer. Is that true?
It does. We do not see anywhere near the number that we used to see. However, we still see it. The same kinds of pictures that Dorothy took back in 1980, in the 1980s, can be taken today because they're, for various reasons, cost, transportation, distance, caring for others, women still say, well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. And maybe I can wait. And, yes, we do see it. So that's go ahead.
I think women particularly, and maybe men too, I won't say it's just women, but I think we're so accustomed to our bodies taking care of itself when something does happen that's not so really serious, that I could see why a person would think, well, this is probably just going to go away somehow, that because our bodies really are phenomenal at healing so many things.
Yeah.
But I think that we, as a form of denial, just kind of are hoping that it's going to somehow disappear. But I'm glad to hear that it has flipped the script on it, that it, certainly the numbers have dramatically decreased, and I'm sure with every event and every effort and every interview that the message is getting out to women that, no, this is not a situation that you need to wait it out.
One of the things about the numbers is that if you're only, looking at the numbers, we find more breast cancer is a good thing. It's not necessarily that there is more breast cancer than there used to be. The fact that we find more breast cancer it means that people are getting checked and we're finding it and they're not dying and us not knowing. I mean, we talk about, I'm in my 50s and I definitely remember the day when you didn't say cancer out loud, you didn't talk about it. And so the idea that you knew why a certain person passed away, you never knew. You never knew the details on why that person, and maybe even they didn't or the family didn't, but it was probably, or it could have been, breast cancer. So now we're finding those cancers and we're finding them early so that we can take care of it and we have longer lives and definitely many, many more survivors. So as we look at the number of breast cancers found, we also want to look at the number of survivors that are out there. And we can absolutely celebrate that fact. I love, love, love when we have any event and we get to recognize the survivors at our annual Shrimp Bowl, which we have in the summer. They wear beautiful leis that were crafted just for them as survivors. And when we have our spring, we have a spring luncheon that supports the Rose, and we'll have it again this year at the Junior League. And it's a beautiful time of celebration and just the beauty of that, the spirit of women who are taking care of themselves and taking care of others by supporting organizations like the Rose.
Are you having anything between the event that you just had this week and the spring that perhaps Houstonians should be in the loop about?
There's often events that we are the recipients of and we get to participate in, and we love those. And all of the events that the Rose takes part in are listed on our website. We have many, many, many going on still today, even though we're at the end of October. We have many that are happening. And as we learn about others, we'll post them on there. But the spring event is our next big event, our April event, which is our luncheon. And you can find out, again, details on the events tab at therose.org.
I know you must have had some type of national attention with all of this going on, Karen, and you're the communication specialist with the organization. Has there been any highlight? Have other organizations modeled themselves after the things that you're doing that you're aware of as far as the mobile mammographies and such?
Yes, we do have other groups that are looking at us. We have a group in Washington, D.C. that came and checked us out and is kind of fashioning themselves after us. And Dorothy Givens, who is our CEO, the co-founder, but also our current CEO has been for the entire history of the organization, she's often speaking nationally and internationally about what we do and how we do it and the work that we do. And so she's a great representative of Houston and Southeast Texas and this area because she is a pioneer and a true champion of women and a delightful storyteller as well. So I hope someday maybe you'll get a chance to chat with her as well.
I hope so as well. Well, we're at the tail end of our conversation, and we're going to go ahead and wrap, but I would like for you to make sure you give out any pertinent information for contacting your organization again and any last words that you feel you'd like to share.
Well, absolutely. Thank you again so very, very much. You, as I've said, you can reach us by giving us a call, and we are available at, I want to make sure I get the number right, 281-484-4708. 281-484-4708, and you just tell them if you are closer to the Southeast area or to the Galleria area, and they can arrange an appointment for you by making that one phone call, or you can go to www.therose.org and find out more information, make an appointment, and also find out more about our mobile program and maybe see if that's something that you'd want to set up in your business or church or anything along that line.
Well, I know I'm going to make it my must to make that happen, so I'll definitely be back in touch in that regard for sure. Karen, thank you so much.
We really appreciate you. Thank you so very, very much.
Oh, and same here. It's been extremely informative. Is there any last words you'd like to share with the women to encourage them?
I hope everybody has a great day, and take care of me too.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. And as I said, I'll be back in touch. I'm already,
okay.
My wheels are turning about getting the mobile mammogram all set up. So, again,
thank you so much.
Enjoy your day.
Okay.
And we'll talk
all
soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And, audience, I want to thank you as well. I've been talking with Karen Campbell of the Rose Organization here in Houston. It's a phenomenal organization that is meeting the needs of women in the area of breast health, cancer care, whatever they may need. So if you or anyone you know needs that help, please visit their website at www.therose.org. The website itself is extremely extensive, and you can get a lot of questions answered without even having to make a call. It's a lovely website, and again, there's a lot of information there that can be helpful. So share that news with anyone that you think that might be interested, or just to keep us all in the loop of how well we should be thinking about ourselves and our care. I want to wish you an awesome day, and I will look forward to talking to you again next time. Thank you so much for listening.